from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins, and
my name is Nigel Payne.
Happy New Year, Nigel. I hope you had a good break.
Yeah, thank you, Martin. Not a very long break, but a good New Year. Yes, and Happy New Year to you too. Hope it's a thank productive you. And wonderful 2024.
Yeah, likewise. But we're going to start with some provocation. We're coming out of the blocks sort of fighting this year. So maybe this is how we mean to go on, dear listener. We're going to be a bit more provocative, say it how it is. But unfortunately for Nigel, he's basically the focus of my attention. I'm not going to be the provocateur necessarily, but today I'm going to be. So, Nigel, we know you're writing a book about organisational learning. However, I've got a question about why on earth you would choose to go for a topic that seems to be diametrically opposed to the direction of travel for the learning industry, which is personalised learning. That's the mantra. That's what the technology providers are building for. That's what everyone's talking about. Everyone needs personalised learning so they can develop their career and do their jobs more effectively. And then you're sort of saying, well, actually, we really need to be focused on the organisation as a whole. And wow, that just seems like a step too far. How do we get our heads around doing that? Why on earth would you go there? So why are you doing this, Nigel? That's my provocation.
I think that is a good question, and I will try and answer it. And the reason, I think, comes out of reality. As always, with everything I've ever written, I don't just sit there in a dream and make it up. And working with organizations through the pandemic, I was forcibly struck by the extraordinary contrast between those organizations where people felt empowered, able to share, solve problems together. They kind of got there so much faster than hierarchical, individualized, personalized organizations, which essentially were paralyzed by the lack of sharing, the lack of communication, and the lack of fundamental problem-solving skills. And I open the book with a contrast between two companies, one that literally sailed through the pandemic because they left it to the staff to work out what was needed. And people change roles to suit the changing needs of the organization. For example, people went from working in stores to working online and on the telephones and doing online support in order to keep the flow of goods. The staff in the stores had the common sense to pack everything up, recognizing that they had to get it back to the warehouses if they're going to ship it online. The other company I contrast it with were completely paralyzed. They just eventually just locked up the stores with all the stock in place, not knowing what to do, not having a clue. And the online system didn't work. They struggled to do the basic stuff. And the result was that that company ended up doing very, very badly, just as the other company flourished. And I just extrapolated from that and thought to myself, what's going on here? This is not about lauding individuals and saying, your talent, you know, you make all these decisions. It was very much about saying, I trust you, you're empowered, learn from each other, be as best as we can be by knowing what we know as an organization. And I think that simple expression, organizations need to know what they know, is enormously powerful, but it's very difficult. I accept that, Martin. I accept that I'm talking about not just, well, we'll go from today, it's all about you being talent, to tomorrow, it's about as a team, as a group, as an organization. There's a lot of structural change. There's a lot of systems change. There's a lot of philosophical change. And that starts from the very top. It's complicated. I accept that. But I think this is an inevitable trajectory. In a world of uncertainty, we need to focus on maximizing our learning across the organization. And the only way you can do that is with a strategy for organizational learning. So that's what the book is. So the book is it's kicked out there because I think it's right and I believe in it, but it's not kicked out there because it's glib. It's not the two things you can do by Friday. It's hard. And it requires a lot of deep thought within each organization, because the other very powerful insight was that it's all contextual, that one context is not the same. So I'm not going to give you magic formulas, the 10 best things you need to do, but I'll give you a philosophy and an approach which will deliver in spades if you take it on. That's essentially why I wrote the book.
Okay, so just following on from that then, so who's it for? Because that doesn't, and I'm not trying to offend anyone when I say this, but learning leaders in lots of organizations have a massive challenge being heard, don't they? So when you're talking in the way that you just talked about this topic, it sounded to me like this is for people that run companies. Is it for people that run companies, and is it for learning people, or how do you see that? Because it sounds to me like in order to make this happen, you're going to have someone at running the business who wants to embrace this philosophy. So who are you talking to?
You're right. That's true, Martin. I am talking to the learning leaders as well, because I think that what this book does is help them make a case to go back to the organization and say, this is why we have to change. And these are the things we could do today. These are the things we could do tomorrow. So that I think is part of it. But if I can't convince a CEO that this is the way the organization needs to go, I'll have failed. If all they do is look at the book or consider the ideas and say, well, that's all very well, but, you know, we don't live in this kind of ideal world, or, you know, this is all dream world stuff, or this is far too expensive, or what the hell, I'm going to change my whole, turn my organization upside down for what, then it's totally failed. So it's for a wider audience. It's designed to get a coalition of support for change in organizations that can enlist the L&D but does not entirely rely on them to drive and lead this. It has to be driven and led from the top. And I hope that if you're a CEO and you see the world and you see the complexity and you see the speed at which things change, you're going to be saying to yourself, we maybe need a better way to cope with all of this. And I think that what I'm putting forward is the way in which we cope with this new world. Just as other changes in organizations occurred to cope with different changes and different circumstances, going right back to the beginning of industrial production, you know, that everything changed in order to accommodate that. And we've come forward and we've made big changes to accommodate technology. We've made big changes to allow more personalization and increased individualization within the organization, within learning and development. But now I think it's time to build learning organizations that are resilient and flexible and will allow the world to interact with the world and the world to interact with them in a different way. So it's not just about what happens internally. It's about the way those organizations react to the outside world, the way they absorb the learning from outside. The world is telling you what to do, but most organizations don't listen. And even if some people in there do, the way the processes and structures exist in organizations, it never gets picked up, unless it happens to be by chance the CEO who sees this and therefore has the authority to push it through. I want something far less left to chance, that just because someone happens to see something. I want processes that make that happen day in, day out, so organizations learn what they know what they learn, and can focus on building the strength of organizational learning to survive, essentially, to survive and thrive in this day and age. This is not nice stuff. This is vital stuff, I would argue.
Yeah. Well, so I think you are definitely up to the job of being provoked. Nigel. I enjoyed listening to that, and I understood it. So, obviously, it's a big, you know, conceptually, it's a step further than I think we tend to go. I don't think it's new, though, is it? I mean, you know that it's all built on work that has been carried out, you know, 10, 20 years ago. It's just the fashion has definitely gone more individual, hasn't it? So that kind of pulling back and thinking about these concepts that would work through this kind of change that we're going through seems to me to be kind of very sensible and pragmatic. So thank you ever so much. There you go. It's our first episode of the year. Bit provocative and very interesting, Nigel. So look forward to the book, and we look forward to getting into something in the next episode, whatever that might be. So thanks, Nigel.
Martin, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. From scratch.